Okay, Allison. This is paper four.
We get enough time on the agenda for.
I'll try to keep my discussion just to three.
Discuss as long as you can.
The objective of today's meeting is outlined in the question and agenda paper four to request permission to begin the balloting process for the final document for management commentary. I will also ask if any of the individual board members plan to dissent on the publication of the final document in the form that we discussed today. Before asking those questions, I thought it might be helpful to briefly summarize the main decisions in the management commentary project. These decisions were reflected in the management commentary exposure draft, and they will also be reflected in the final document. Importantly, the final document will not differ significantly from the exposure draft. The staff believe that the changes are drafting in nature. The staff will include a description of those changes for the board members during the balloting process. Importantly, the final document of management commentary will not be a standard, and entities will not be required to comply with it. The board decided that the document would provide a framework that is broad, non-binding, and flexible in its application. That's unlike any of our other documents, and it is proposed that we will be calling the final document an IFRS practice statement. Furthermore, the board decided that management commentary is within the boundaries of financial reporting and thus within the conceptual framework for financial reporting. This decision affects the users, the objective, and the qualitative characteristics of management commentary. The exposure draft reflected this decision and the board's recent work on the conceptual framework. The final document will reflect the finalization of the conceptual framework chapters of the objective and qualitative characteristics. The board also decided that the principles for management commentary are that it should provide management's view, it will supplement and complement the financial statements, and it will have an orientation to the future. In addition, management commentary should include content elements that are essential to gaining the understanding of the facts and circumstances of the entity. And the board also decided that the final document will not include application documents and illustrative examples. That completes my summary of the main decisions of the project, and I think at this point I'll just turn it over to the board.
So this might be tricky for Elke and Paul, who probably didn't see much of it beforehand, but any other comments? PK, are you trying to come in, or is that no? Okay. Pat?
I had chatted with Allison briefly before the meeting, and one of the things that I wanted to just convey was the importance, I guess, of the differences between what we have seen and what we're about to see. We're not examining the proposed changes in a board setting. We'll be looking at them in a drafting process. And as we've, I guess, had some recent experiences with people objecting to changes, you know, in language, I guess that's an important point here. To keep in mind as we're reading the document. So presumably we're going to get a kind of a document that compares what we've seen and what you're proposing. And the other thing I wanted to just confirm, as you said, this is not a standard. Would this be something that might be referenced in the financial statements? In other words, for further explanation, a preparer might say, refer to management commentary. I'm just curious.
I've not seen that done, and certainly they wouldn't be required. They're not required to comply with this final document. So that.
But if they were to make that reference, I guess the question I'm wondering is whether or not they're kind of incorporating by reference the information in the management commentary into the financial statements. I'm just curious, or vice versa, when they reference to the financial statements from the management commentary. I'm just curious whether we've dealt with this issue.
I think to your question, Pat, it cannot replace what is required by IFRS. It can only supplement. So I would see no problem in the entity saying here is all the disclosures required in addition for explanations of commentary nature. You can read that, but certainly not the reference in replacement or in lieu of.
So the reference to the management commentary doesn't pull the commentary into the financial statement. It's our view. Okay.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
I've got Paul, PK, Tatsumi, and John.
I think the question relates to Pat's comment. Have we thought about assertions of compliance, or that is, in the same way we say if your financial statements follow international financial reporting standards, you should make a statement to that effect. Would we either require, permit, encourage that here? And what about independent attestation or review of this? Would we expect that, or would we have any objection to that?
Well, we have experience with this in the UK, where we put out a similar document, an operating financial review, and we didn't have any statement like that. But as far as attestation is concerned, there's a standard international auditing standard that you have to make sure it's consistent. It can't be inconsistent. And that's, so we don't have to get into that. That's already dealt with. So they can't see something that's inconsistent, Paul.
No, but there are jurisdictions that do require an auditor comment on it, and then I'm not sure exactly what they would say. I'm just wondering whether we've studied, investigated that at all.
We originally we put a hard wording, but our constituency not accept.
This is a voluntary thing. You can do it if you wish to or not, and it's usually peer pressure that builds it up, and then the jurisdiction decides how it's going to handle it. What we didn't want to do was to make it a standard, because then some jurisdictions wouldn't take it, then the non-IFRS compliance. You have to keep this on, Paul.
Where a jurisdiction likes this so well that they, you know, they say this will be our management commentary, and we want independent review / attestation.
Okay.
John,
I don't think it's much of an issue if. By referring to it or cross-referencing it, you bring it in, the auditor is going to say, don't do that. Or else the auditor is going to have to take responsibility for it. It'll work itself out. I just don't see this as a big deal.
PK?
Yeah, John doesn't want to be an auditor or admit you as an auditor, but he just answered the Pat's question. No auditor would allow reference from the financial statements to management commentary,
unless
you give a same level of opinion that you give on the financial statements. You cannot give an audit opinion on the financials and an attestation like in a review report on the management commentary. And to the best of my knowledge, there is a U.S. auditing standard on the management commentary, which was Pricewaterhouse used for Goldman Sachs. Only one known instance, but that's a review. That is not a audit opinion, so nobody refers it.
Thank you, Chairman.
You're
welcome. What are you going to say now?
What?
My question is, Anderson, you said the new title of this series is International Financial Reporting Practice Statement. What is the status of this statement? Because the question raised Paul or some other people is once we say characterize the nature of this statement, it's clearly obvious, it seems to me. It has no authority. It's just a what could you characterize this nature of this statement? And also, it's a sort of the title, and management commentary is the sort of the statement one, or name of the management commentary will remain, I think, under the title of the International Financial Reporting Practice Statement. So could you explain a little bit more about this?
Sure.
What's the title, though? I think there's some confusion.
IFRS practice statement. That's the title of the document because this document is non-binding. An entity does not need to comply with this statement in order to assert that their financial statements are in compliance with IFRS. So, but we've not issued a document like this before, so the question was, what do we call it? And the proposal is an IFRS practice statement. In terms of, I think it will be called an IFRS practice statement management commentary. In terms of numbering, I don't know that we'll number it. This is the only document that we have of this type.
But we're not going to argue whether we number it or not.
I thought IFRS means including the statement. Okay.
Okay. I think what Alison said, we have to have up front in the document that it's non-binding and you don't have to use it to comply with the IFRS and so on. So that will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good night, Tatsumi. Yeah. Paul, you seem still unhappy. Well, more than usual.
Worried about a company asserting compliance when they only comply with half of our requirements. I think we need a minimum, a statement that says, with IFRS practice statement 1, I think if you assert, I comply with IFRS practice statement 1, you must comply in full. You cannot pick and choose. And that's why I think we need to say something. I didn't say it well before, but that's my issue.
There was some language in the basis for conclusions of the exposure draft that said that it would be helpful to users if an entity explained the extent to which they applied the practice statement. At that point, it was an exposure draft. And I think that decision was made because it's not a requirement to comply with this, and so it would be helpful for someone to say what they did apply. Because it's not we don't require them to comply with it at all, let alone the full thing.
I think that's better than nothing.
Oh.
I thought that would defeat the whole purpose of this. The idea that we talked about was get it out there. Other jurisdictions, like some, aren't used to this. Give them some period of time, jurisdiction by jurisdiction. They might want to have other requirements around it, but that's not for us to do.
I think I have not made my point.
No,
except
to Warren.
Do
you agree with him, though? Do you agree with him?
No, I don't.
Okay, he gets
no,
it. Exactly.
I understand his point perfectly, but I don't think we can, and this is what Alison said, we can't make something mandatory in a document that's non-mandatory. But I think we can make it clear in there. We think that would be appropriate so that users understand whether it's been fully complied with or not. So there's a frame of reference. But, yeah, that's the problem. I wish we could, Paul, but I can't see you can.
I don't see why not. But at least if we say what you just said, that if...
In the basis that if you want to assert compliance with IFRS practice statement, then we expect compliance in full. You want somebody to say this complies, but they've only picked and choose half of...
I don't agree with your point. I think that you are trying to make something which is rather open, rather soft, rather unprecise into saying, have I complied or not? I think we are trying to set now a little bit of a help for people to get organized, like a minimum, and you can build on it, you can take parts, and I think we should avoid trying to make this a formality.
Okay, Philippe?
Well, probably we can deal with that in terms of wording the basis for conclusions. I think we cannot say that we expect, because that would mean we have endorsed and we make it mandatory, but we can have some words saying that an entity asserting compliance would create confusion if it wasn't fully compliant. Just a sentence saying that, and people will be alerted to that. In terms of numbering a statement, I would put no number because that would imply that we are starting a new series. People would ask the question, what about number two? So let's decide when, if ever we have a new one, whether we put a number, but not this one.
Yeah, okay. So we number number two, but not number one. That's good.
That's true.
Well, you know, King Edward wasn't King Edward the first, and there was going to be a second, so...
I think that in response to Paul's point, I think it's just a reference a material, so and pick and choose is expected, I think. No? So it's just a reference material, and pick and choose will be welcome, I think.
I think we should give Allison something to do here.
Yeah, 2 points. First, I understand the point from Paul, but I not support the idea to formalize it like this way. And second, now even though we said we were not willing to numbering it, but I'm not sure whether we should do something related to our due process on this type of.
Well, what do you mean, Fredo? We have been through due process. You know, we've issued this as a discussion paper and exposure draft. So we've done it all.
But these type of documents are not formally specified in our due process documents.
Mm. Oh, I see. You mean you want to build it in eventually? We could do that next time.
I'm not sure, you know. Since the idea is to have a formal name, as we decided, is to maybe in the future we will have more. Then
we can put in our handbook of practice, whatever we call it, and just say that's what we've decided on. Okay, we'll do that next time. Alan, next time we'll revise it. Okay, thanks. So, everyone approve the Alison carrying on to ballot. We picking up the Philippe's point, which is an answer to Paul's, we could put a sentence in the basis, and we don't number it.
What's your time?
I'd like to ballot in the next week or so, and hopefully published by the end of October.
Okay, if you can have a word with Alan to make sure we don't get in the middle of a batch of papers. Yes, that way.
Is anyone going to dissent on this?
Oh, you're going to dissent? You're going to dissent, PK?
Did you burn anything in the comment process?
What?
Same reasons I gave in the exposure draft or the docket discussion paper. Same reasons I continue. I have not learned anything new from the comment letter process.
Why did you dissent last time? I can't remember.
Just for the reasons it is a voluntary document, it'll have inconsistent, and we don't need
you
to
don't
get into
dissent
it.
For that.
Doesn't improve the world.
Yeah. No, I just want to continue my dissent. That's all I'm trying to say.
But can I ask a question? So your reasons why dissenting is a sort of the IFRS practice statement itself. So you mean some non-authoritative statement that you will not accept, and you will keep dissenting all the statements?
How do you feel about the title, PK?
I like it. PK, I don't think you can dissent.
You can only vote against. I mean, this is it's not a standard, not an exposure draft. The only standards of exposure drafts in the Constitution require that you dissent or no. It's a simple majority.
Yes, and
the chairman has the casting vote. So
yes.
The majority in favor, that's it.
So it's only Jan can dissent.
Jan said, we mean not necessary to mention the board vote, right?
Yes.
Have a formal final page. It may not necessary to have.
So if it's not necessary, then I don't.
Yes.
Yeah, if you don't do that, then
yeah.
Don't let him off the hook.
consider that the majority of board members
approve the publication of the documents.
No, we can do it. It's approved by the board.
Approved by the board. The document needs to state that, surely.
This was approved by the board. And
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you don't need my dissent?
We didn't need
it.
You can't dissent.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Then that's fine. But okay. If there is, then I need to put it. That's a good one.
Okay. I thought I'd be done in 2 seconds. I forgot about that.
Yeah, well done.
Okay, meet again in half an hour since you wasted all that time.
You carry your little shopping bag, haven't you?
That's all your fault.